This Shabbos is Parshas Shkolim. So I'd like to run through with you for a couple of minutes. I don't have all that much. A couple of inyanim relating to Parshas Shkolim. Just some short, interesting ideas about Parshas Shkolim. First thing, the halacha, this halacha of the requirement to lane the Parsha of Shkolim, Machsa Shekel, we all know that it's in Parshas Kisisa, and the requirement to do so comes from a Mishnah Masechta Megillah. The Mishnah says that Be'echad Ba'adar, on the first day of Adar, Bezin would go around and Mashmim Al Hashkolim, they would make an announcement, everyone should give a Machsa Shekel, a donation of a half a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. Now why does everyone need to give a Machsa Shekel? So the Torah tells us, because Rosh Chodesh Nisan Zos Chodesh V'Chodsho L'Chodshei Hashanah Chadesh V'Havei Karbon B'Tshuma Chadasha. Pasuk in the Torah Zos Oilas Chodesh V'Chodsho. We have Halacha, all the Karbonos of Klal Yisrael are offered from the funds of the Beis HaMikdash, and the funds of the Beis HaMikdash are provided by Klal Yisrael, and the Karbonos represent, when the Karbonos of the Tzibur offered, each Karbon represents the entire Klal Yisrael. Everyone in Klal Yisrael must have a chilek in the Karbonos, the Tamid Shal Shachar, the Tamid Shal Ben Harbayim, the Musafim of Shabbos, and of all of the Moadim. Who paid for it? Every single member in Klal Yisrael, when they give a Machsa Shekel, that money is going to purchase these Karbonos of the Tzibur. And the halacha is, every year, Nisan, there must be new collection. The korbanos that are offered every single day of the year must be renewed every single year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Being that Chodesh Adar is 1 month, Chodesh Adar is 1 month before Nisan, so we need a month. That's what we learned from this, that we need a month to be reminded to give the donation. The deadline is Aleph Nisan. We have 1 month, so we make an announcement approximately 1 month before Chodesh Nisan. Everyone should give a donation of Machsa Shekel, so that within 30 days, the money will be collected and transported to the Beis HaMikdash, and there will be a new collection of funds, and from that funds, the money will be removed to use to purchase Karbonos for the remainder of the year, the following year. Okay, so that's the basic idea of Machsa Shekel. Now, Bizman Hazeh, here is the big issue, the big debate, the big dilemma. Bizman Hazeh, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't offer Karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. So why then do we bother making this announcement on Rosh Chodesh Adar? Do we continue making the announcement that everyone should give Machsis HaShekel? No one's giving Machsis HaShekel. Now, Machsis HaShekel, that's another topic. We do give it on Purim, a Tainus Esther. And then it gets to give a Tainus Esther. Okay, so we'll give as a Zeich, but why do we bother making this announcement? So there are two reasons given in the post, really three reasons why we continue Bizman HaZeh to make the announcement. One reason given is Zeichel Migdash. That's right, no one's coming to your house and asking you to give a Machsa Shekel for the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, it's not a good idea. If you actually give Machsa Shekel for the Beis HaMikdash, the money is Kodesh, has the full sanctity, and there's nothing that it can be used for, and it'll be a Mikshal. What are you going to do with the money? It'll get lost, it'll get stolen, and whoever will derive benefit will be over on the terrible Avera of being Moel Behegdish. So no one's coming to collect. No one's coming to collect. However, we do it nothing more than Zecher LeMikdash. Now, what's the Zecher? Let's be very careful what the Zecher is. Just like in the time Shabizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, people actually gave money. And before they gave money, they made an announcement on the Shabbos before Chodesh Adar. So there was an announcement. Let's go back. Time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were a two-step process. There was an announcement made, and then people gave. Now, Bizman HaZeh, no one's giving. That's a give. No one's giving because you don't want to give. There is nowhere to give to. And if you would give, the money would be problematic. What are you going to do with the money? The money is dangerous money. It's holy. We can't be guaranteed that it will be preserved in a way where no one will be nene shloiked in from the money. So that we for sure don't do. We don't actually give money to the Beis HaMikdash. But we do Zecher LeMikdash, we make the announcement. So what we're doing this Shabbos is basically the same thing that they did Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Hayakayim. Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Hayakayim, they made an announcement and they gave. We don't give, but at least Zecher LeMikdash, we make the announcement. That is one approach. Another approach is, no, if you're not going to give, there really is no purpose of making the announcement. So it doesn't make any sense. You're making an announcement to give. Are you giving? No, you're not giving, so don't bother making the announcement. Are you wanting to go give Machzah Shekel on Tainus Esther? That doesn't call for an announcement. The announcement is only when you do the real thing. You know how we make the announcement? So this is from the Rokeach, and many other Paiskim say the same thing. Uneshalma farim sifoseinu. Reading the parasha, Bizman Hazeh, is equivalent to actually giving the money to the Beis HaMikdash. It's an incredible chiddush. When you read the parasha, just like when it comes to korbanos, we have a concept of Bizman Hazeh, we can't bring korbanos, so what do we do Bizman Hazeh? So we read the psukim. Uneshalma farim sifoseinu. Harei zeh kilu ikrafti. Bizman Hazeh, we can't give the money, because there is no way to give the money to. The money will be nichshol. So reading the kriya is equivalent to actually giving the money. That's now my nafkamina. The big nafkamina is, can you give a cut on the maftir of shkolim? If you learn this, the place comes to this, was all brought down in the Moadim Lesimcha. The Sefer has a collection of chidushim on the Moadim, and he explains an afkamina discussed by the poskim is, can you give a katan maftir? Many shuls, you don't see so much today, but years ago it was very common, you would give a katan maftir. You want to get the children, instead of having a junior minion, yeah?
So therefore, going back thinking,
yeah,
is it a chiyuv to hear Parshas Shkolim?
Absolutely, it's a mitzvah, it's a drabon. The Bizman Hazeh drabon, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah said, we're coming to understand the time, what exactly is the nature of the mitzvah. Midrabanan, at least midrabanan, there is an obligation to hear the laning of Shkolim on the Shabbos before Chodesh Adar.
An equivalent of a Malek to
hear. What? A Malek is Deraisa. According to most poskim, it's midrabanan. There are minority view that it's Deraisa as well. Listening to the Mashmim al Shkolim has a source. Vaidaber Kisitsa Srosh Veishol, they read it to the Sukkim. I don't know exactly how. Some poskim hold that it's Deraisa. But that's very rare. Most poskim are of the opinion that it's Midrabanan. But it's not a minhok. This is serious. A mitzvah is a requirement. The requirement, at least Midrabanan, to read the parsha in the Torah of Shkolim on the Shabbos before Chodesh Adar. Period. Now, the question is, what is the nature of the mitzvah? Is the nature of the mitzvah that Rabban have instituted after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Talmud Masakin, Zecher LeMikdash, just like it was done, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, they made this announcement, we're making now a takana, Zecher LeMikdash, we're going to continue to make the announcement, even though no one's going to be giving the money, or no? There's no purpose in making an announcement when no one's giving the money. The reason why Chazal were misakin that you should read the parasha is because Bizman Hazeh, when we don't have the shkolim, reading the parasha is equivalent to giving the money. A very easy, cheap way out. You don't have to pay any money. Reading the parasha, Neshal Mefonim Tzivosein, L'mayin Afkamina, this the Chazal were misakin that you have to go and read the parasha. Can you give it to a child? So today, like we say, you don't see too often children getting maftir. Years ago, children used to come after all the time. We used to train them, and they would really, it was an excitement to come to shul and so on and so forth. Competition to lay in the Haftarah.
Why are
you late? Really? I never heard it. Really? Yeah. Such a thing?
You're allowed.
Well, really, I never do that, but that's fascinating.
Good voices as a child.
The Shabbos Mincha, you can talk a child can lane, really?
Yeah, it's not in that Torah. It's only in Takanas Ezra.
Fascinating, okay. And Shabbos morning? But even Shabbos morning, you can lane. There's a famous story with Rav Soloveitchik, where I think they made a mistake.
He wasn't bar mitzvah.
Our five of them used to always say over this story. Where someone came to Rav Soloveitchik and they made it. It was the Shabbos for the bar mitzvah, and they realized that the boy wasn't bar mitzvah. I don't know some stories. So he let him lane. He let him lane even though he wasn't bar mitzvah, because there's no requirement they have to be bar mitzvah to lane. To get the aliyah. be the oila, you have to be bar mitzvah. But to get the to do the laning, you don't necessarily need to be bar mitzvah. And I think it's about himself. It happened to him himself that when he was bar mitzvah, he was not yet bar mitzvah. Okay, something along those lines. But the point is, the question: can you give a child the aliyah of naftir for shkabs if you learn that it's zechel mikdash, that is just nothing more than an announcement, it's just zechel mikdash? So zechel mikdash, as long as it's being, it doesn't make a difference. As long as it's being read, it's okay. It's not a problem. Just like every other maftir can be given to a katan, you can give this maftir to a katan as well. The maftir is being done. The word, it's being read. People are hearing what it says in the Torah. So a child is doing the, or even a child gets the aliyah. An adult lanes it, or a child gets the aliyah. It's fine. But if you learn on a shalma fadim sefaseinu, laning the parish is equivalent to actually giving the money, a child is potter from giving the money. And not only is a child potter, we get him to another big issue. You're not really chayim in atara until you're 20 years old. It's mi ben eshim ulamala to give machsa shekel. So that's also an issue that if you learn that it's in a shalma, funim sefaseni, you should really ideally give to a person who's over 20 years old. Reading the parasha is giving. The person is not a bar chiyuva, he's not chayiv in giving. It can't say in the shalma funim sefaseni, you cannot represent the tzibur in this inyan if you yourself are not obligated to do so. And there's a third reason given why we lay in parasha shkalim. It's really based on the Mishnah Masechta Sofrim, not one of the common Mishnah Masechtas, that the Medrash says that Hashem's Haman paid Achashverosh 10,000 talents of silver to have the right to wipe out Klal Yisrael. And he purchased. The king owns everything, and if you pay enough money, the king will sell you whatever you want, including the souls of people in his malchus. Haman bought the rights to own the Jews and to do to the Jews whatever he wants. He paid 10,000 talents of silver. Along came HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw that would happen, and to prevent that from happening, Hashem gave us the mitzvah of Machtis HaShekel. Our shekolim should come before the shekolim of Haman. And that in the big picture of things means that kaviyachol, we're the property of Hashem. By giving the machs shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem owns us. We're His property. For His property, Haman doesn't have any power to purchase. It's already sold. You go in front of someone's house, they have a sign for sale, and then they put the big sign, sold. We already have been sold to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're His property. Haman is too late. Therefore, we reenact this every single year. Since when it comes to Purim, it has nothing to do with the shkolim of, really, the shkolim of the Beis HaMikdash, because there is no Beis HaMikdash Rizman HaZeh. There is no Beis HaMikdash Rizman HaZeh. There's no purpose. There's no purpose in giving Machsa Shekel to Bar Karbonos. What are we doing all this for? We're doing this because soon is Purim. And when Purim happens, every year there's a reenactment where our enemies are trying to acquire us and purchase the rights to destroy us. We have to be makdim before they get a chance to acquire us, to cause us harm. We have to give ourselves over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by reenacting this Maimer Chazal and giving Machsa Shekel. We give Shkolim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that technique, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we become part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are His. We show that we are His through this Kesef. And the Kesef, it works that we give ourselves over, and then we're Hashem's property, and our enemies no longer have any power, shlita, to have any control over us. So, sach hakol, we should come into parashkol knowing these three yisoidos. There are three reasons why we lay in the parasha. Number one, zecher lemikdash. When there was a mikdash, they did two things. They made announcements, and they collected. We're not going to collect, but Zeichel LeMikdash, we make the announcement. Second reason, Bizman HaZeh, we can't give. So reading is the giving. Uneshalma Fodim Sefaseinu. And the third reason is Purim. Purim is coming. Our enemies are going to have Shlita over us. We have to be Makdim, prevent them from having power by giving ourselves over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by selling ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way we sell ourselves is not by taking, but by giving. It's a different type of kinyan, but it works. Okay, that's one thing we wanted to talk about. Now another idea, it's a very beautiful drush, said by number of Farshim, is another reason why, it all ties into what we said before, that we read the parsha. If you look at the parsha's kisisa, it says twice lechaper al nafsho sechem. The reason why we give the machzah shekel is a kapar. Now let me just go take a step back before we get to the part. What's the kapar? Twice in the parsha, we do the pasuk he'ashir lo yabeh v'adah lo yamit mimachatzis shekel lo seis chumas Hashem lechaper al nafsho sechem. Giving the money is a kapar. What is the kapar? So there are four reasons given for the kapar. Number one, to mechaper on the egel, the cheto egel. And that is why, according to some, why we have a half of a shekel. Because the egel was the cause of the luchos being shattered. The luchos were broken, were shattered. Beka lagolgoyles. Beka means to break apart. Because we worship the egel, the luchos were broken, were shattered. So it's a zecher for what we have caused the luchos to be broken, to be split. We also give a coin that is a half as a kapara for what we've done at the time of the egel. Another reason given for the machzah shekel is a kapara for mechiras Yosef. This always comes back to haunt us throughout history and throughout Piyutim, Tisha B'Av, Asar Gemalchus, so on and so forth. We give machzah shekel as an atonement for mechiras Yosef. The money that the brothers took in selling their brother, we basically were giving back that money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A third reason given is when it says L'chaper nafsho sechem, has nothing to do with the egel, nothing to do with Mechiras Yosef. It means we're going to purchase korbanos, and the korbanos that will be offered throughout the entire year with these smachsa shekel, that will be the kapara for Klal Yisrael. Guess what? It's not anything in particular. We're buying korbanos the whole year. Tam Mishal Shachar, Tam Mishal Barabayim, Musafim, Chatos. That throughout the year will be the kapara for Klal Yisrael. A fourth reason is it's a new kapara. Just giving the money itself is a kapara. You don't need the Chiras Yosef, you don't need the Egel, you don't need the year will be in the future, will be in the future. Just the money right now will be an immediate gratification, an immediate atonement for any sins that we have committed. So Sach HaKol, four different mahalchim to explain the word L'chaper al nafsho sechem. Now let's go further. After it says in this pasuk Tezvav Ashir lo yaveh v'adah lo yamit b'machzah shekel lo seis eschum Hashem l'chaper al nafsho sechem, the pasuk then says v'lokachta es hakesef hakipurim yetz b'nei Yisrael v'nosat oiso al avodus al moed v'hoya l'vnei Yisrael l'zikoroin l'vnei Hashem l'chaper al nafsho sechem l'chamol l'chaper al nafsho sechem. Why is it repeated twice? So the answer given is there's a difference. The second time it says, "V'haya l'vnei Yisrael l'zikaron," it will be for a remembrance. L'vnei Hashem l'chapel nafsho sechem. The first time it said l'chapel nafsho sechem, it did not say the word l'zikaron. L'vnei Hashem l'chapel nafsho sechem. So this alludes there will be two tkufas in the history of Klal Yisrael. There will be a tkufa we will actually give the money, and we will give the money. That will be the kapara. But b'zman hazeh, after the Chumash Samigdash, when there's no actual giving of the money, then it's a zikaron. Just the zecher that you give the shkolim, that will be l'chaper l'fnei Hashem l'chaper al nafsho sechem. You have the same idea in tzitzis, by tchelas. By tzitzis, we say, in Tcheles, it says Tcheles twice. One place it says Ledoro Sechem, and the other, in the parish of Tzitz, it doesn't say Ledoro Sechem. Because, you have to, I don't remember the details, but it refers to two different kufis in our history. When we have Tcheles, and we don't have Tcheles. When we don't have Tcheles, then it's a Zecher. We read the parasha, we're reminded of Tcheles. Here as well, twice. L'chaper nafsho sechem, one for real, giving the money is a kapara. The second time is our zman. We conclude those words lizikaroyin l'fnei Hashem l'chaper al nafsho sechem. That's what we're being mekayim when we read the parsha on parsha shkol. There's a very what zichron tour, right? Zichron tour on our Rosh Hashanah when you don't need the shofar. So just reading about it is enough. And this is another very interesting idea. I saw that I think the Moedim Uzmanim. Moedim Uzmanim says this the following idea. We know that the person, there's a tradition, a minhag, the one who gets maftir, he davens musaf. Familiar with this? The one, he has rights. He has rights to daven musaf. The one that gets the maftir, the last aliyah, he gets the haftirah. Why does he get the haftirah? Not fair. You give him the last aliyah, you finish learning 7 aliyahs, 7 kurim. Now we're going to repeat the last few psukim. We're going to call someone up. We give it to him to lane. Oh, we gave you this. Okay, so you also, once you already lane, you got the last, the 8th aliyah, there, so you can do the haftarah also. No, make the brachas, Sasha Bochar, do the haftarah, and then do the end brachas of the haftarah. And then once you hear already, do the maftir. Do musaf. Why? So the Farshim tell us, because you're being mafayasin. You have insulted him. You have given him maftir. Maftir is not a real aliyah. Maftir, the real aliyah, there are only 7 oilim. You're supposed to lay in 7 aliyahs. Really, the maftir is the last aliyah, number 7. This is a modern innovation that we repeat the last, we call up another person, and we have him repeat the psukim, and we give him, it's not a real aliyah. So, we've given it to you. We've insulted your honor. Because if you're a real person, we would give you shlishi, we would give you kayin, we would give you a real aliyah. We're giving you an aliyah after your second thought, afterthought. So in order to appease you, we'll give you the brachos of the haftorah, the bracha before, the bracha afterwards, and you're still not appeased, you still have tainus on the shul. So we'll let you daven musaf also. It's a pius. And therefore, the person who gets the maftir has the right to demand, I want peace, I want appeasement, I want appeasement, I want the haftarah, and I want musaf. So the Mardim Uzmanim says, an incredible chiddush, that's true the whole year round, but when it comes to the Dalet Parshios, he has no rights to the musaf. Because the Dalet Parshios is a bigger chiyuv than regular Kriyas HaTorah. You look very carefully in halacha, there are a lot of excuses not to, I shouldn't tell this to anyone, not to listen to the Kriyas HaTorah. If you come to shul and they're laning, as long as you're not making trouble, you're not talking, if you're learning, we don't do this today, it's not the right thing to do, but if a person is learning while they're laning the Torah, it's not the end of the world. The din kriya is on the tzibur. As long as there are 10 people laning the parasha, and you're number 11, so you can be doing your own thing, technically speaking. No, as long as you're not mavaz the Torah, as long as you're not making trouble. So the Gemara says it, that they're doing what they're doing, and we're doing what we're doing. We're also learning Torah, so it's not a beastly Torah. And it's not accepted. You don't do this today. It's not a proper thing to do. But technically, as long as the tzibur is laning the parsha, and you're in the shul, you're there, and you're not disturbing, you do not necessarily have an obligation to listen to every single word of the Kriyas HaTorah, as long as others are taking care of it. But not when it comes to the Dalet Parshios. The Dalet Parshios, a special obligation, every single member of the Tzibur has to hear the Dalet Parshios. And the Chiyav of the Dalet Parshios, the Kriya Satorah Dalet Parshios, is more chomor than the Kriya Satorah of the Parsha, of the Sedra, and the Ezra was Mesakein for the Tzibur every single Shabbos. Therefore, when you give a person maftir, you're giving him a very big covet. You're giving him more covet than you're giving the 7 oilim when you're giving him the Dalet Parshios. Therefore, he doesn't need to be appeased. So technically speaking, he has no right to the Haftarah, to the Haftarah, and he has no right to daven musaf. So this is a distinction in a shul where the custom is that the one who gets the maftir has a right to demand, I want the haftarah and I want the musaf. It's not true when it comes to the Dalet Parshios. He has no right to musaf, no right to the haftarah, because you have given him a very great honor in getting the maftir. Okay, now, there's another end of the maral. The very short maral. Our resident expert maral is not here, Miller. But the maral, the Dalet Parshios is a series. There are 4 parshios. Shkalim, Zohar, Para, and Chodesh. So he just wants to point out that we should focus that when you learn the Dalet Parshios, it's not 4 isolated events. The Dalet Parshios all take place in 1 month, from Adar to Nisan, or leading into Adar through Nisan. 4 It's a process. The process is first, you have to recognize that you are the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You give money, you know, in kinyonim, do kinyin chalipin, the different ways. Sometimes, you know, you give to acquire. We give machzah shekel to become part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's shkam. By doing so, you then have the opportunity to come to Zohar and Par. Zohar represents chayrus from the guf, because Amalek wanted to destroy the bodies, the bodies of Klal Yisrael. Para is tahara. Para aduma is the nesham. It's like a Hanukkah type of. You're going back to Hanukkah, and then when you have tahara from the guf and the neshama, then you have the pasuk says nasati lachem leiv chodosh, a new heart, v'ruach chodosha etein b'kevachem. So the Maral explains people should not view the dollar parshios as four separate haphazard events that are happening during this chodesh. A person has to go into the dollar parshios understanding that the dollar parshios is a process. The process begins where you give yourself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you makne yourself. You become the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by giving the machzah shekel. Once you are Hashem's property, you can then go into the next step and have chayrus in the guf. Then, once the guf has been cleansed, then comes a higher level, chayrus of the neshama. And then, after the neshama, then Hashem reciprocates. There's reciprocation of a chodesh. The nasati lachem leif chodosh v'ruach chodosh etein b'kevachem. Beautiful approach to appreciate the Dal Parshas, and that has an afkamina. If you miss one, you're really losing out on the others. If a person is not available, he can't go to shul, doesn't hear Parshas Shkolim. It's not just you lost out on Parshas Shkolim according to the Maral. You lost out on the remaining three because. You know, if you come late to a movie, you miss the beginning, you're not going to understand what's going on at the end. You've lost out an essential part of the process. Okay, now, interesting Shiloh of what about a child? Shiloh, what about a child who hears Parsha Shko, who becomes Bar Mitzvah before Chodesh Nisan? So if you become Bar Mitzvah by Chodesh Nisan, so do you have to hear Parsha Shkolim again? Because the whole purpose of Shkolim is Mashrim al Shkolim is to hear the announcement, the Hachrozas, to hear the announcement is a preparation for the Chazal Wumsakin. You have to lane the Parsha. You have to hear the Parsha. And then, in order so that when you come to Chodesh Nisan, you give the new Shkolim. But what happens if a person becomes Bar Mitzvah? This is a good Bar Mitzvah drasha. You always have these questions. A person becomes Bar Mitzvah in the middle of Sfira. So until now, it was only with Rabbanan. Now, it's Deraisa. The same way you have that issue with the Bar Mitzvah Pshat, when a person becomes Bar Mitzvah in the middle of Sfira, how do you deal with the shlemus of all 50 days being counted in one shot for Bar Mitzvah boy who was Potter until now, now becomes Chayev? You have that same issue of a boy becomes Bar Mitzvah in between Shkolim and Chodesh Nisan. It's a set. The announcement that's made on Parshas Shkolim is all in preparation for what takes place on Chodesh Nisan. Aleph Nisan, Zois Olas Chodesh V'Chodshay, Chadesh V'Havei Min Chum Chadosha. So if you're caught in between, the Bar Mitzvah is caught in between, how do you relate? So that is discussed in different issues, but it's just an interesting idea of how what happens in such a situation. Okay, a few more short things. This is a curious thing. I don't know any significance. Parsha Shkolim was always after. It's always the celebration after Shavuot. We have Shavuot. The parsh we have Shionis Shmois Le'erabo B'Shalach Yisro Mishpatim. Today is Takano. Today is the last day of Shavuot. You're supposed to fast every Monday or Thursday for 6 weeks. Today is the last week, the last Thursday. You should make a siyum today. Today is the last Thursday, the last day, really, of Shavuot. Okay, some fast on Friday, but many fast on Monday, Thursday, Merdin. So it's the end of Shavuot. After Shavuot, you come into Parshas Shkolim. So someone learned that Shavuot, the whole idea of Shavuot is all a hakdama. It's a hachana for these four parshios, the Dal parshios, which start with Shkolim, because they always coincide back and back. Shavuot leads into the Dalid parshios. Okay, Mishkev Kamat got. Yeah?
Mention the person who gets Maktiv, doesn't he automatically get the Haftorah also?
The person who gets Maftir, no, not necessarily.
Why?
It's Hailuchud v'Hailuchud. You got the last Aliyah, now there's the Haftorah. Haftorah is.
So they can.
Call someone else for the Haftorah.
That person has to make the brachas?
Whoever they call, the new person they call up.
In other words, you can separate.
Absolutely.
But that's not
yes.
Done.
We don't do that. Because we are Mephias. That's exactly goes to show how strong the pious is. Once we've insulted you by giving you the last Aliyah, so we have to make it up to you by giving you the Haftarah. So the only reason why that person will not always daven Musaf is because many people are not, they're not a Bar Hochi, they can't daven Musaf.
No, but he got rewarded with the Haftarah. Why?
It's not enough. You can never, we all know from our own life experience, if you do so in an Avla, there's nothing you can do to atone. Nothing you can do, no matter how good you are, there will always be tainus. Okay. One or two more short things. We'd say Yoytzreis. This is really all off the topic. Mm-hmm. So now begins the season. Yeah. Now is the season.
Musaf.
So just I was going to the Swami. Not everyone knows these ideas. I didn't really have a clarkite until I saw it yesterday. But there are four words that are interchanged for Yoytzreis. Yoytzreis, Piyutim. Kroivos and a Kroivots. Kroivots, two different words. Kruvots. Two different words. Look. All right. So let's first get the four words. Yoytzreis, right? Piyutim. Kroivos. The soft. Kroivos. That's an older word. The word Kroivots or Kruvitz, he's pronounced it?
Kruvitz.
Kruvots or Kroivots? Kroivots. 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 Four different words which seemingly really all mean the same thing. Where do they all come from? So a piyut, I think, is a more catch-all term. A piyut is a catch-all. Yoytzreis, the word Yoytzreis, we use it for piyut because it was a piyut that was said in the brach of Yotzer or Uvorei Choshech. Not the middle of the Shemona Esrei, not in the middle of Musaf. When you say the Birchus Kriya Shema, you say the brach of Yoytzer or Uvorei Choshech, all of those additions that are paired into the Tefillah is called a Yoytzreis. It's added to Yoytzreis. Now, being that was our first piyut, so in Nela we started calling all of the other piyutim that we say in Musaf and other parts of that, and we also borrow. It's a borrowed term, we call it Yoytzreis. A Kroiva, what does that mean? So this comes from the Avudraham. This is a very old term, and it means something very, this is the way he explains it, that in ancient times, years ago, the only one that would say the piyut was the shatz. Not like today. Today, no one says it. Everyone. Not everyone had sidurim. Was very, and also no one knew it by heart. These are very complex piyutim. The only one that said it was the shliach tzibur. And the shliach tzibur, he said out loud. Everyone listened very carefully. Can you imagine? He said it word by word, and everyone listened. The shliach tzibur was called the koroiv. He's close to Hashem. Why is he close to Hashem? Because he takes the role of the Kohen Gadol. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol was the one that was close spiritually to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shliach Tzibur was the one that was the Avudram. Not telling the Avudram says. It's Koroiv to Hashem. So when he recites the piyut that's miyuchid for him, that he's going to say, everyone's going to listen to, it's called Kiroi voice. Things that are recited by the person who is Koroiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now at a later point in time, this appears in Tosfos. The word Kroivots, Kruvitz appears in Tosfos. Tosfos Masechet Brachos. He's the first one to say this. The first one that we have on record. One of the Rishonim to make you, because we have the word Kroivos and the Yoytzreis from the Goinim. That already goes back way before time of the Goinim. But the first time the word Kroivos, the list that we know of, appears in our writings is the time of the Rishonim, the Balei Tosfos, and in Masechet Brachos he uses this word Kroivos, and it's explained by the Beis Yosef, which is much years later. What is this funny word, Kroivots? It stands for Kol Rina Vishua Be'ohole Tzadikim, Rashi Tevos. The sound of joy and salvation in the tents of Tzadikim. Right, it is so useful all over, the whole year round. Kol Rina Vishua Be'ohole, but it's there in Bali Toys, it's not referring to Purim. It's referring to even things like we say on, even the things that we say on Shkolim and things like that. Okay, the Haftorah. Okay, I'm not going to go the Haftorah. There's one very important word I want to tell you. That's what I was trying to do. I'm almost finished, but the Haftorah we lay in from the renovation of the Beis HaMikdash, renovation of the time of Yoash. Now, it's very interesting that there are only 17 Ashkenazim are getting away with murder. They're getting away with murder on Parashat Shkom. It's a very short Haftorah. It's only 17 Psukim. That's a violation of the rule. Why do we lay in 21 Psukim? Because one of the reasons why we lay in is because it used to be they were not able, Shema, they were not able to lay in from the Torah, so they instead lay in from the Haftorah. And they lay in 3 Psukim corresponding to each Aliyah, so 21 Psukim. So 17 is less than 21. So the answer Chazal give is that if it's a Dover Sholem, then you're allowed to lay in even if it's less than 21 Psukim. However, the Sfardim don't go for this answer. They hold you have to have at least 21 Psukim, and therefore they start backwards. They go back 10 Psukim, go back a number of Psukim in order to make sure you have at least 21 Psukim. Now let me conclude with one beautiful Vart. This Vart, I think it's from the Chassam Sefer, and it's sort of explained, I think it was embellished, elaborated upon by Rabbi Avraham Shur in his Sefer, Halekach Valivov. He writes a very fascinating idea. In this parsh Kisisa, when we describe the Master Shekel, it's called Truma. Kisisa, Esreis, Zayit, and Kolever, because the Master Shekel, Shekel, Lodesh, Kolever, Esrim, Gira, Shekel, Machatzis, HaShekel, Tirumola, Hashem. A Machs, HaShekel is called Truma. How much, when you give grain to the coin, how much do you give? You give one. The average person gives 1 in 50. If you're very wealthy, you'll give 1 in 40. If you're very stingy, you'll give 1 in 6. But the average truma is 1 in 50. Truma is 1 in 50. It says how much do you give? You give truma la Hashem. You're only giving a half, which then means that the full value that you really should give is 25. And the Chassam Sofer, with Rabbi Shur's explanation, his elaboration, the real value of a person. Not the Erech. Erech is a whole different category. That's a whole different side. But the real value of every single thing in the United States, they figured out every person worth $6 million. How much is the person worth? The average person in America worth to the government. They made everyone has a value, I think, it's between $6 and $7 million. It was 1 year when there was $8 million, they reduced everyone is worth. The value of men has gone down to $7 million. A couple of years ago, there was a big study.
The value is not debt.
What?
The value is the debt of each person.
How much they owe, how much they contribute to society. The time the person is born until he dies, they made this, I don't know, this sounds like nonsense. How much value a person is to the government? $7 million. In the Torah, a person's value is 25 shekels. That's your net worth, 25. And that's when you're giving machzor shekel, you're giving truma la Hashem. You're giving 1/50th. A half of a shekel is 1/50th of 25. So you're giving two Allah Hashem. Now, and he explains why is it in this week's parasha, if a man is ma'anis a woman, how much does he give the father? 50 shekelim. Why do you give 50 shekelim? If the amount of a person's worth is 25, why are you giving 15? So the Rambam says, when a man is ma'anis a woman, it's like you stole her innocence. You're a ganef. And a ganef pays kefel. And therefore, the reason why you pay 50 shkolim for being ma'anes a woman is because you're really paying your kefel. A person is worth 25, and you learn that from machzor shekel. Machzor shekel is truma la Hashem. It's 1/50th. If you're giving a half as truma, that means a person is worth 25. And when you harm another person, you take away their dignity, you've stolen their essence, you have to pay kefel. You have to go give 50 shkolim. Now the last part of this drasha is, now we go back to Haman. Haman paid, the pasuk says that 600,000 people equals 100 talents of silver. Machzis HaShekel for the entire klal, he shows 600,000 people is 100 talents. How much did Haman pay for Klal Yisrael in the Megillah? 10,000 kikarim of kesef, which is Haman paid 10,000. Now 10,000 is 10,000 Shkolev, the whole Klal Yisrael is only Machs HaShekel. Let's make a calculation. If Machs HaShekel for Klal Yisrael is 100, and that's only 50th, that means 5,000, right? 100 times 50 is 5,000 talents of silver, would be the full value of Klal Yisrael. And now we have to understand that was the time of the Torah. The time of the Gemara was doubled. Well, not time of the Gemara, before the Shekel Kodesh is doubled. Haman paid 10,000 talents of silver. 10,000 is double 5,000, but Haman paid mundane coins. The Kodesh is always doubled. That's another principle, is that the Kodesh, that Chazal doubled the value of the coins. Which basically means, I don't know all the exact details, Haman paid Achashverosh the full value of every single member of Klal Yisrael. Every member of Klal Yisrael is worth 25 shkolim. That's what Haman paid for every single member of Klal Yisrael in order that she have rights. What does Hashem say? Give Machsis HaShekel, and then you will become mine, and that will protect you from the coins of Haman. The problem is, our Machs HaShekel is only a truma. It's only 1/50th of what Haman paid for the entire Klal Yisrael. And the answer Chassam Sofer gives is, that's exactly the point. Hashem says, it's not about money. It's about, do what you can. Haman, by a guy, there's such thing as quality. I want to own you. I want rights to you what I wish. I'll buy you. How much are you worth? You're worth 25? I'll pay you 25. I'll pay you 50. I own your essence. Klal Yisrael, Hashem says, that's not what I want. I want your value. I want you to show where you belong. Just give truma. You don't have to give your entire value. Even giving a small fraction of yourself shows where you want to belong, where you're holding. That's what I want from you. And that will overcome the shkolim of Haman. Haman paid the full value. Hashem says, you don't need to pay me the full value. You can pay me a fraction, just a truma. And paying a truma will be more powerful than the full value that Haman had. It's a very powerful limud ha-musar. It's not always about money. It's about your values in life, of where you want to be, where you're holding, where you're trying, where you, the direction that you're going. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a nice